FM CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today I have David Watson with me. David is with us on the third Monday of the month, although we might be looking at a different just for next month, but we'll talk about that in the break. David's here with us. He may go into trance. He kind of feels like he's already in trance. He's had a few things going on today. So, hey, welcome, David.
Hi there. Hi, everybody.
So I thought we'd talk a little bit about solstice. You want to talk a little bit about self-talk. If anybody has any questions and they want some guidance, give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. Or you can send us an instant feedback. Just be really clear about what it is that you're wanting to know. And we'll get back at you if we can. All right. So
we're headed for the longest day in the year, just a couple of days from now, huh?
There you go. Friday.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yes. Well, it's always, you know, it seems a lot of people are talking about the solstice, saying that there's, you know, a lot of energy because the last solstice we had was, you know, the December 21st one. So now we're going into the next solstice. And so they're saying it's everything's being heightened. I know you're doing something special on the solstice. Are you doing it because it's the solstice, or are you?
I'm doing it because I did this about 5 or 6 years ago, if not a little longer, up at the Petroglyph Park, just a little northwest of Peterborough, Ontario. It's probably the oldest collection of Native North American petroglyphs in North America. And it's pre-Columbian, and they're carved a couple of inches into the rocks, these petroglyphs, and they represent, we believe, you know, they're a central figure, and a lot of other very interesting glyphs that are nailed in there to, you know, give different impressions of different aspects of life and that sort of thing. And there's some really freaky looking little creatures they have, like, chipped into the rocks up there, too. And I went several years ago, and they had the very first summer solstice there, because apparently what they've done is they built a building over top of the petroglyphs to protect them from the elements.
Okay.
And the native people pointed out they're Chippewa up there, you know, which is they turn around and they said, well, you know, like, we need to have water on the land, you know, at least once a year. So they decided that they would have a solstice celebration. So I got to go and watch a beautiful ceremony, very, very touching and very powerful. Several years ago, and then they've been repeating it every summer solstice since. So I thought this year, you know, it's been a while since I was up there, 7 years, so I got the 7 year itch, I guess, and decided I'd go back
up
there.
Way.
Yeah, the energy is just phenomenal. And the area up there that it's built upon is not just the glyphs themselves that are considered to be sacred. It's the whole area, and it's interesting. A friend of mine who went with me up there, you're not allowed to take pictures there, but he asked if it was okay, and he brought in this a highly technical kind of compass with him. And he took it around the whole outside perimeter of the cliffs, and the compass was just spinning around like it was, you know, on another...
so the magnetic
Oh, yeah. Well, to the magnetic north, to the magnetic south, it was just spinning, you know, just like you would expect. If it, you know, we thought, well, is it magnetized rocks? And apparently not. But there is a large amount of underground water there. And it's also called the speaking rocks, you know. So the people, if they listen, put their ear to the rock, they can hear the water running under the earth. And so it's like it's talking to them, you know. But very interesting and powerful experience. As far as the summer solstice is concerned, there's been, you know, I don't know how you could say anyone is more powerful than another. I mean, you know, I mean, everything from the pyramids to the Incas and their huge pyramids in Mexico, and and right to Stonehenge. You know, we've all had monuments that are very specifically designed to see the sun at the high point of the year when we have the longest day. It's very interesting. So I think we've noticed it over the years. You know, I don't think it's something that kind of got swept under the carpet. I think what's happened over the years since those sacred events were being celebrated is we've kind of lost track of them.
Oh, well, we kind of became Christianized, didn't we?
No.
Well, that kind of got rid of some of the celebrations that were pagan-ish or...
Perhaps, you know. What's interesting is that several books that I have read around the time when Joshua or Jesus was supposed to have been born, it was in the summer. It wasn't at Christmas time or in December for the winter solstice. It was in the summer solstice that he was believed to come in, you know. But I think, you know, it's just very interesting when we like start to study those kind of things. And I wouldn't say exclusively Christian. What I would say is more to the point that just our society today, we have a tendency to minimize any kind of sacred events unless we're members of a card-carrying religious belief system, and which unfortunately most of us are not these days, or fortunately, depending on which side of the fence you're on. You know, I think that has a lot to do with it. We've had our new religion installed. It's called information technology. The internet, this is what we now depend on, you know, so. But that's going into a whole other field. Sorry, we'll come back to the summer solstice now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we've sort of lost touch with the earth, whether it's, you know, solstice or, you know, otherwise. We kind of, you know, people are amazed sometimes when a full moon comes up over one of the lakes and it looks like it's the sun. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone down to watch a full moon and people going, is that the sun? It's like, really? Well, it's coming up over the east at 10 p.m. I'm thinking, really?
Must be the end of the world.
Maybe. Because it can be so orange, right? It can be beautiful and big and very bright, but it's just funny because people just lose touch. I mean, we may be a little bit more fanatical on knowing, you know, when the moon's cycles are, because maybe they do impact our energy for sure. And the sun, you know, we all want the sun, right? We're all.
Well, the thing that I always think of is that everything that exists exists because of the sun.
Sure.
The elements that our bodies are made out of are the same elements that the sun is made out of. They're just put together in a different way and a lot littler. You know? But, you know, the truth of the matter is that there's very good reason to look to the sun as a source of light and energy. You know, you know, I've even had people come up to me and say, well, when we talk about the Son of God, maybe you spell it S-U-N, you know, rather than S-O-N, which gives a whole different flip to that whole belief system. But it is an eternal light to us. It is an eternal energy to us. It does provide us with all of the necessities of life, you know. It brings us food and energy. It moves the winds, and, you know. Heats up the water, which makes the clouds. It's pretty phenomenal, the whole deal. And right now causes huge solar storms that are blasting the Earth with incredible amounts of energy, which is what I think a lot of people are thinking about with the energy this year, just getting back to our original topic. It is surrounding the sun, I do believe. I'm not saying that there aren't spiritual things happening, but everything that happens on the physical is contained within spirit. Because I believe everything in the physical is contained within, you know, comes from a base of spirit. So spirit isn't in something, you know. It is everything, and it is contained, you know, in that way. So looking at the sun, same thing, you know. So those things that are hitting the Earth right now, these electromagnetic waves, these ultra high radio frequencies, and that sort of thing, are really messing a lot of things up. I mean. Cell phone transmissions are always just off all the time with that. You know, you're talking to somebody and then somebody starts speaking to you in Swahili and you're going, what? And it clicks back to who you were talking to. You know, oh, geez, what happened there? But it's that kind of thing that I find is very interesting. And I think it's those energies that affect us more than anything, not a longer day or a specific day. I think those are the values we add to things that are already, you know, natural. And over you know, aeons, we observe these things because, hey, what else have we got to do while we're here? Let's look at the sky. Let's look at the sun. Let's chart everything down. We love to categorize and mark everything down. But that's the conclusion, I believe, that somehow collectively we've come to is that, yeah, there's very specific things that happen at specific times of the year. But what's the, you know, what is the effect? Is it physiological? Is it spiritual? Is it both? Well, it has to be spiritual if it's physiological, because, as I say, with my definition of physiological, it's contained within spirit. But to what end? You know, how does it affect us? I mean, we all talk about, you know, the cycles of the moon, you know, and when women are on their moon cycle, you know, I mean, that's a big deal.
Well, it used to be anyway. I think we've kind of gotten off that whole, the actual natural rhythm of the moon cycle because of cities and because of birth control. But yes, I agree. It's important. It just, our cycles are no longer connected to the moon as it used to be.
So is our cycle connected to the sun, as we would suspect, you know, or we would suggest? Personally, I think that the time we're in right now, we are in a time of heightened solar activity, with almost regular solar flares. They tell us that we're at the top of a 10-year peak and that sort of thing. But some of the people I know who do study the sun, and anybody out there who's interested can go on the internet and just type in, you know, sun studies. And there's four or five different websites that follow the regular, you know, activities in the sun. So you know when it's high and when it's low. But these sites all tell me that this is probably the most active it's been in recorded history, which hasn't been that long. But, I mean, you know, what we've been able to record over the last, you know, I don't know, 50 to 100 years. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's also the intention that is going along with a lot of these heightened days where, you know, there's a lot of people thinking that it's going to be a powerful day. So, you know, the intention, the prayer, the energy is focused on that. So it can also, you know, create something.
Well, I believe that, you know, wherever the mind goes, the energy flows, right? So this is part of our unique ability to channel energy with intention. But, you know, I think the solstice as we see it is revered. It's a specific time of the year. It's, the sun is at its apex. It's at the longest time. It's shining on, well, this part of the earth anyway. And because of the way we've all studied astronomy in school, and in one way or another, we sort of know about the cycles of the sun and the way the earth moves around it. But it's interesting how we put so much so much weight on, you know, these cycles,
right,
and how we associate certain things with them. I mean, it's good to know for planting, I guess, and for harvesting times. It's good to know for, I don't know, measuring a year from one end to the next. You know, either measured from the shortest to the shortest or the longest to the longest. You know, I'm sure that there were cultures that measured it. It's interesting, don't we? We measure the year basically from the shortest to the shortest. The 1st of January is just like a week or so after the shortest day of the year. You know, a return of the sun, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah, to celebrate a new beginning. But very interesting. Very interesting as to how we do associate with these physiological events. And that's what I put it down to personally. You know, not wishing to sound too hard-nosed about it, but, you know, I think truly that makes sense to me anyway. You
know? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to our first break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have David Watson here. David can be found on the web at askthewillows.com. David is a deep trance channeler for the Willows, who's part of his soul group. So Ask the Willows, askthewillows.com. And you're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Lori Houston and Gene Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Lori is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of Quantum Change. She's developed and teaches the Inner Speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's newskyradio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD. At AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
A piece of me you can't have. And I know that it's driving you mad. Little part inside you can't reach. I'm afraid this way is gonna be. There's a part of you that wants to fight. But I never really had the appetite. And I feel my feelings won't speak. Words will be taken upon the breeze. Is always blowing.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today I have David Watson with me. David is a deep trance channel for the Willows. The Willows may join us when we get a couple more questions. If you have any questions, this would be a good time to give us a call. 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. All right. So let's talk about self-talk then.
Self-talk?
Self-talk.
Okay. That's one of my favorite topics. What do you think about self-talk? you know, what I think is really interesting about self-talk, a lot of us talk about self-talk. But self-talk isn't just talking to ourselves. You know, sort of like a lot of people think self-talk is you do something, you blow it, and you go, oh, you dummy, or, you know, words to that effect. I think most of us are a lot rougher on ourselves than we could ever be on other people. Mm. Although I've met a few, a couple of ex-partners. No, I'm just kidding. But in actual fact, all kidding aside, I think how we talk to ourselves is most of the time is pretty abominable. I find in practice when people come to me, the first thing we talk about is how they talk to themselves. And they tell me that if they talk to their friends or their family like that, no one will talk to them. Right?
Right.
So there you go. And then people who are afraid of, you know, criticism or don't enjoy criticism from other people, actually they don't need it because they're much better criticizing themselves. They don't need any extra help. You know? So that's kind of the attitude that I've learned about as far as that's concerned. But the real self-talk that I focus on is when we point things out about other people.
Mm. The judgments we make on others that are...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're driving. You idiot. You know. Now, every word that comes out of our mouths goes into our head. It has to. Because it came, first of all, out of our head, out of our mouths. We hear ourselves say it. So we create this little feedback device inside of ourselves all the time. And I find that a lot of people who complain a lot and you know, grumble about this and grumble about that. Well, you know what? At the end of the day, they just get unhappier and unhappier and unhappier. You know? A lot of people who aren't happy with themselves will often find a lot of fault with the world around them. And we're all guilty of that, if you want to call it guilty, in one way or another. Because we all have our moments. Mm-hmm. Sometimes our days. Hopefully not our months or years, but, you know, that's happened to in the past as well, you know? But it is very important to listen to the way that we do speak to ourselves. The late, great Debbie Ford wrote the book about the shadow,
yes,
and the shadow self, you know, and how we do the shadow being the reflection of how we bounce the world back to ourselves. And it's very important to note that when we do talk to others, that we think about the fact that we're also talking to ourselves. So that's a very important self-talk to pay attention to, my candid opinion, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, a lot of times we're not aware that the talk, you know, when we're judging others is really still a reflection of ourselves. I mean, it's usually, if it didn't bother us, if it wasn't something that bothered us that we thought was, you know, we were taking personal or something, it's still something that bothers us about ourselves, or it wouldn't even be coming into the perspective. Now, it doesn't always mean it's exactly what you're saying. It's just, it's the energy around it, or it's the,
yeah,
there's something, sure, around it that is impacting us. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're brought up that way. We're brought up to be self-critical, you know, to hold our thoughts to ourselves. You know, so when we get older, of course, we don't. You know, we share them with other
people.
Well,
yeah. You know,
more often than not. We fall into a role is what I now call the indignant victim, which is where we wind up criticizing the things around us because we feel victimized in one way or another, which includes anything from poor service in a restaurant to having to wait for, you know, your popcorn at the movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How come this line's so long? What's the matter with this? Blah, 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 blah. Things aren't, you know, well, okay, slow down there, but Jack, you know, it is, you know, the way it is, you know. But to start complaining about every little thing, you know, first of all, shows a little tolerance, but that's just covering up.
A reflection, yeah.
Yeah, a reflection of how we're
feeling about ourselves, or just, yeah, feeling in general. You know, I think that's the one thing about starting off your day with intentions, or starting off your day from a, you know, a balanced, present, grounded place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big, if you can do that, it kind of limits those moments that kind of get out of control. Because I think that's what happens, is we get out of control because something's happened that's triggered us. And then from that moment on, if we can't regain ourselves, that's all we're doing is complaining.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's called falling into that ring of fire, you know? and it is something that we do have a tendency to do, but it all comes back to how we see ourselves, how we care about ourselves. You know, I see, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of people in the course of a year. You know, with classes and teaching and one-on-ones. And the thing that I find that's most prevalent amongst everyone who comes to see me, just about, is the fact that nobody really loves themselves. Mm. You know, you say to somebody, well, that's something we reserve for other people, right? Well, I love you, I love him, I love her, I love it, I love my dog, you know. But what about yourself? And we kind of like take a step back and go, oh, no, isn't that narcissistic? Because that's kind of what we're brought up to believe. You got to love yourself. I mean, God forbid, you know. And, you know, I just put it to anybody out there who says or believes that, you know. I just say, just take a moment for yourself one day. Look yourself in the eye in the mirror. And just look at yourself and go, you know, I really love you. And mean it. And look in your eyes and look deep inside of yourself and know the things you've been through in your life. Know where you've been. Know that you're not perfect, but know that you're also human. Love the humanness in you. Love the quirky things about yourself. Love that part of yourself that's really and truly, you know, the base of what we all are, you know, which is, I believe, we're all clear, white, pure inside, you know. White being the color of all the colors of the rainbow, you know, put together, which is where we get clear light from, you know. I think it's that we begin to, if we can begin to see that within ourselves and see our humanity and to empathize with ourselves and to look and not feeling sorry, because sometimes we get an old pity party sometimes. But that's not loving yourself. Pity partying is basically, again, falling into a victim role. Loving yourself is not being a victim. Loving yourself is being powerful, it's being centered, and it's being caring. Because when you feel powerful and centered and caring, you can be powerful and centered and caring with the people around you as well. It's a lot easier. You know, you don't have to make it up. You don't have to, you know, make a big show of how you feel about people. You just do it. You know, same as loving yourself. You don't make a big show of doing it yourself. You know, you don't sort of like wind up kissing the back of your hand every morning, but, you know, I love me and don't you forget it. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that loving ourselves is a very unique and powerful thing that each one of us can do. So I think that comes back to, you can talk about self-esteem or self-worth, and definitely comes back to self-talk. What if, when we talk to ourselves, we said, you know, like, I really love you, meaning that to ourselves. Or if we blow something, instead of saying, oh, you idiot, what do you think you just did there? You turn around and go, you know what? What did I learn out of that? Where's my learning curve there? How can I deal with that? You know? And sometimes when we calm down enough and we forgive ourselves, because forgiveness is part of loving ourselves, you know, very definitely, we can then go back into that past event and rearrange it so it turns out the way we would like it to. Not so that we can, like, make it up in our brains and think that we're perfect, but to remember the fact that if we come into a similar situation in the future, we've created a strategy rather than just have that event to fall back on again and create a gestalt around that. We have a strategy
of a pattern,
I should have said this or done that. And so then change it in your head so you have the outcome you want. It's a very good way to learn to love yourself and to learn from your experiences. I mean, what do you think?
I think there's a lot of confusion around loving yourself. I think there's that word self-love is put out there a lot, and I don't know that a lot of people know what that means or how to do it or where to even start. I like the concept of looking in the mirror. I think what we're all looking for, everybody, is love and acceptance. So it's somehow finding that way to love and accept ourselves regardless of what happens. I think absolutely forgiveness is key. But I think when it comes down to, it's probably not a doing, it's a being. It's more a concept that most people find challenging. But we're going to go to our next break. When we come back, maybe we'll have the Willows. Maybe the Willows can give us some suggestions, and then we'll take some calls.
What the world needs now.
Right. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson. Find out more about David on his the website askthewillows.com. That's askthewillows.com. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
Help. Life's a game. Win. Call and get advice from today's top coaches that are here to help you run a business, offer legal advice, enrich your relationships, or guide you on the right career path. Our coaches are expert professionals in their field to help you win the game of life. Listen to Coach Me Radio, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul with David Watson. David can be found on the web at askthewillows.com, askthewillows.com. And, well, we've been talking a little bit about, well, a few things. Solstice, self-talk, self-love.
Yeah, this is kind of our flippy day here.
Yes, you know? But we will take questions. He will go into trance shortly, and you can give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. All right. So
during
the break,
we're talking at break about something I'd seen around the city in Toronto, Ontario. It's set up by an organization called People for Good, you know, .ca. You know, you can check that website out yourself sometime. Very interesting. They don't want anything from you. It says if you want to donate anything, you look under donations, right? You go to that section, and what do they say here for donations? I'm just looking here. Deeds done, do some good. Join us, spread the kind word, give, pledge some good. That's all they ask you to do. If you're going to give, just pledge some good. You know, pledge to do something good. They don't want money from you. These people are apparently have been in the advertising business for years, and they just decided they were going to do something that was good. So they got together with people and other people in the advertising business and got free spots, and they put up posters, I guess billboards and that sort of thing. And recently they started doing some ads on TV, interestingly enough. So it's nice to know that that kind of thing's out there. And basically what they're just saying is just do something good. Do something that you feel that makes you feel good. Because if it makes you feel good, probably it'll make somebody else feel good as well.
Well, and the bit about, you know, giving, when we give with unconditionally, you know, usually we're giving conditionally. If we're giving unconditionally, it does make us feel good about ourselves regardless. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know, that is a one way of self-love.
Well, it's an interesting definition as well, you know, to say giving unconditionally.
Yes.
Because most of us give, but then somewhere in the back of our head, there's this little thing that floats around and says, well, maybe I'll be getting something back for doing mm-hmm. this. Or maybe I'll even get some brownie points, you know, with the big guy up there, or whatever the case may be. Rather than, you know, without an ulterior motive, just give because it makes you feel good, you know. And I think that's kind of an interesting approach to it. And that's kind of what they're talking about with this organization. So, you know, anybody out there, I'm sure they'd be more than happy to, you know, show you how to set it up there in your city. And maybe start a little campaign for doing some good, you know. And it all has to do with a good sense of you know, good self-worth to be able to do that sort of thing.
All right. Let's bring the Willows on, see what they have to say.
Okay, that sounds good.
As David goes into trance, it doesn't take too long. It's usually pretty quick.
Yet, we are here now.
Did you need to balance the form?
Indeed. Yes, this is in effect with the agreement of the entity David. We are here to serve.
Okay. Well, we do have a question, but I thought maybe we'd talk, since we were talking about self-love and we went on to this people for good, just the idea of, you know, sometimes self-love is one of those concepts that sounds good, but not a lot of people know how to do it or what to be in a state of self-love.
Well, the first thing one has to do is give oneself permission to love oneself. You see, many people feel that they cannot do that because to do that may admit to themselves that they are being egotistical, which is the word many people would use, you see. But the truth of the matter is that if you are a creation of God, of the one energy that is all, whatever words you like to use for it, this is in a non-denominational sense, we say here, then, and that you agree that that one energy is created all, then all is created in the image of that which is, or God, which is everything is as it should be. But as a creation of God, you must look at yourself. And as you would love God and love creation itself, automatically you would have the opportunity to love yourself and love the aspect of your own creation, you see? And this is the way that you may begin to give yourself approval for self-love, you see? For with the self-approval comes a good sense of self-worth and a good sense of the ability to love oneself. How does one do this? One must remain vigilant consciously. And whenever you hear that little voice inside of you begin to push you around a little bit, begin to criticize you, you simply need to take a step back, look at it, and say, in the best words of the Silva mind control method, cancel, cancel. And just cut it out. It requires that you be consciously aware, and the more that you are aware, the more you will catch yourself criticizing yourself. And instead of criticizing, then you can begin to rearrange the way that you view yourself and begin to shift your own state of consciousness by being self-appreciative and self-understanding. For as you would appreciate and understand those about you, what less would you do for yourself? You see?
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, if we treated ourselves the way we treat our best friend or our family, well, maybe not family, close others. then we might, you know, have a little bit more respect for ourselves. But I think, you know, we tend to fall back in the patterns of not doing that.
Indeed. Well, as Entity David did say earlier here, it has to do with your own conditioning during your early years. It's not something that is inherent or born into you, but it is something that we would refer to as generational. It comes from generations and generations of people who believe that the ego should be kept at a minimum, that people should be humble, and that people should give more than they receive. Well, of course, that's true. But what if you give yourself more love than you receive? You see? That is good. Because, you see, you will never get all the love you ever think you need unless you begin by loving yourself first. You see? That is the very base of it all. Until that happens, you cannot move forward in a succinct way. And by understanding this nature of love, it is not love as you would love another person in a relationship. It is not love as you would love your children. It is not love in this way, but it is what we would call a universal love, one that allows one to feel a sense of joy, a peace and happiness within oneself, and this is where the feeling of love comes forth. And it is within this that if one seeks these things in life, by practicing a gentle lifestyle, by kindness, by goodness to others, and by thinking and forgiving oneself and those about oneself, then this is how to begin to make the shift. Now, we are not suggesting that you go out and do this as if you were on some kind of a mission. This is not a mission statement. It is just a way to think about living that creates a greater sense of joy within the heart. And as you did say earlier, it is always good, if you want to feel good, to go out and do something nice for somebody else. Yes? Always makes one feel better, no matter how bad things seem in one's life. But how much more so when you go out and do something good for yourself, where you treat yourself as if you were your own best friend? That would be a very nice thing to do. Then you can begin to look at your good points and begin to feel good about who you are and begin to look at your, well, shall we say, your shortcomings or your little glitches, and begin to be forgiving of them. And becoming aware of them gives one an opportunity to shift one's consciousness around them, thus creating a new avenue for growth, you see?
Do you have any... We talked a lot about the solstice. Is there any... I know we're going to go to break semi-shortly, but is there any thoughts around the solstice that you have for people that... that was different than what David was sort of saying?
Well, the solstice here is an opportunity for one to consider all aspects of life, from birth to death. For the year is taken, as you might see it, as a metaphor for life itself, going from summer to autumn to winter to spring, or going from spring to summer. In other words, it's part of an eternal cycle. Wherever you step into it, it will automatically begin to fall into its motion. Therefore, the summer solstice is an opportunity to understand it is when the most amount of sunlight is available. It is when the body may absorb the most amount of health from the sun, providing, of course, you have the right SPF on it, we say with a smile. Yes. But the truth is here is that that sun connection with the sun is most important to pay attention to. And we recommend this on a daily basis on sunshiny days. Step into an area where there is some nice grass about you. Take your shoes and socks off. Stand in the grass and take as many of your clothes off as you legally can. And stand there in the sunlight, with the arms out at about a 30-degree angle on both sides of the body, palms forward, and face up toward the sun. And just absorb the energy of the sun. Feel the warmth on your body, and feel your body absorbing it like a sponge, like a hungry sponge. And do this for 5 minutes, and then get dressed again, put your shoes on, and continue on with your day. This will have given you an opportunity to connect with the earth and the ground and to connect with that energy of creation in this part of the universe, shall we say. And by doing both, you will find yourself more balanced and more energized at the same time and feeling calmer and more focused as well.
Nice.
This allows you to discharge negative feelings and energies into the earth, and it allows you to bring clear, clean, pure energy in from the sun itself, which is there for all to absorb.
Beautiful. All right, we're going to go to our last break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson, and right now with the Willows. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Like what you're hearing? If you'd like to learn more, experience more, contact Lori Houston and Jean Adrian. With a bachelor's in social work and natural clairsentient abilities, Lori is an impressive and intuitive counselor. She's developed her own clearing and healing techniques to assist you to find a heart's way so that you may hear the gentle guidance of your soul and your soul's purpose. Visit on the web at intuitivesoul.com. Jean Adrian is a healer, teacher, lecturer, and creator of quantum change. She's developed and teaches the inner speak process. Working via phone as well as in her office in Atlanta, Georgia, Jean offers readings, coaching, and clearing sessions. Learn more online at jeanadrian.com. Take your business to the next level by talking with Voices of Soul about advertising opportunities. Voices of Soul, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Sky. CBS Radio's new skyradio.com. Now heard in Boston, Seattle, and Detroit in HD. At AOL Radio and Yahoo Launchcast.
The Sky.
New horizons, no boundaries.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson. David is in trance again, and we have the Willows with us. And we've been talking, well, we've been talking about a lot of different things, but we did put it open up to ask for questions. So we did have a question. It's from Dina, who is transitioning to a new location.
CBS Radio,
the
Sky.
But she's asked that she just commute to this new location only once a month until the fall of 2014. So that's a nice long time to transition. She's just wondering if that will be okay, and whether she has to actually move at some point. But
We have a question here. Do you say she is asking for this to happen? Or?
It looks like she told them that she would only be there once a month till next fall.
Indeed, yeah. And what is the question?
Well, just wondering if everything will be okay with all that's happening.
Well, you've taken charge of the situation, and as a result of it, you have established parameters around it. Therefore, it is working in the direction that you hope it will. It is up to you as far as the transition is concerned and how you focus and how you put your energy into what you are doing. You see? This is the number one thing around this situation. But when one has made choices of this nature and everybody has fallen into cadence with it, it's good to know that it will be fine in this way. For we do not see within yourself a desire to do anything else but your best, you see?
Perfect. Okay. Did you have any last thoughts that you would like to offer to our listening audience, whether it's around self-love, self-talk, or solstice?
Regarding all of these matters, it is most important to realize at the end of the day, what matters most is mind. Mind being consciousness, mind being the way that that which is would be called all is contained within mind, you see? But it is also the mind that you hold within yourself. Honor your path. Be open to new experiences. Take judgmentalism and turn it into an open-ended situation so that you may, when you are seeing something, you may be able to form an opinion rather than a judgment that may later be substantiated or not substantiated by further investigation or by knowing the situation in a better way. For yourselves in this lifetime, it is want for you to look at this time of the year and to be grateful for just being here in this time and this age and having the opportunity to enjoy the world at this point of its growth and transmogrification. And so this is what we would say at this point. Be joyful, be happy, and take onto yourself the note that no matter what happens in life, as long as you still hold yourself and you still love yourself, there will always be an opportunity to create a better and a new way of approaching the life process.
You see? Yes. All right. I guess you could release a form, bring David back so that we can end the show with David in present form. If that's okay.
Are we done?
David.
Oh.
We're not exactly done.
Oh, we aren't.
We've got a few more minutes. We thought we'd bring you back. And
all right. Well, nice to be back again.
There you go.
Yeah, there
we are. Back or is it nice when you're in pain?
Well, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to provide this kind of information today. But I'd like to thank everybody out there for tuning in and listening. And hopefully some of the things we've been able to share today might have hit you in a certain way or might make you decide that you're going to reevaluate some of the visions you have of yourself.
And I guess the other thing about solstice is it means that we're halfway through the year. So if people had, you know,
already?
Yeah. Those goals that they're wanting to look at and stuff, I guess it's a good time to sort of reevaluate where they are at and where they're wanting to move forward to. I guess that's another thing that they can look at with regards to solstice.
Yeah.
Without focusing on the doing and
yeah, without a target, it's kind of hard to hit one, isn't it?
Well, this is true.
And it's always good to shoot high. Yeah, I think I heard it said by the Seminoles. They said it's better to shoot an arrow at the sun and strike an eagle than to shoot an arrow at an eagle and to strike the earth. You know.
Right.
So
I'm not sure I understand that.
That means aim high.
Okay.
And
I'd rather you not hit the ego, but I understand what you
well,
mean.
Well, I understand that. I mean, you know, you're a member of PETA, aren't you?
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, it's just a saying. You don't have to take
right,
it personally.
Right.
You know,
it's aim high. It's
aim high.
Go for the stars.
Okay, it's better to fire an arrow at the sun and strike a jet airliner than to something that's not good either. But anyway.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
I think.
That's even worse, so we don't want to go there.
Right. We did get some feedback from Dina, who was appreciative of your response, or the Willow's response.
Okay, well, so. I hope it was helpful.
All right. So I believe that, well, there's a possibility that the next show, which is supposed to be July 15th. Oh, you know what? It might not affect that show at all, actually. I think it's the next week. So I think we're probably good for the 15th, unless you're not back from your trip yet. Okay. So I was somehow thinking that we'd have to do the first, but I think we're good.
How about that, folks? I'll be back on the 15th of July.
We may have you come on the 5th or on the 1st. I don't know.
Delighted to be here. Always happy to share.
Yes. Well, we always appreciate you, David.
Well, thank you.
All right. So if you want more information about David and are looking to have a reading, he can Skype and phone readings, so he's available. You can find out more about him on the web at askthewillows.com. That's askthewillows.com. Or email.
Get in touch. I'll be happy to talk to you.
Email him from the website. Email me.
Sure.
We will we'll get you in touch. All right, you've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with David Watson, askthewillows.com on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.